Today on the Gary Zemek Show, we'll look at the Mass readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we'll look at the importance of charity within the church. Stay tuned. It's coming right up. Hey there. Welcome to the show. Come on in and make yourself at home. You know who I am. I'm Gary Zemek, and I'll be here for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you will as well. Charity within the church, in other words, being nice to your fellow members of the mystical body of Christ, sounds like a no-brainer, doesn't it? But it's easier said than done because, as you are well aware, there are some people in the church, they might be sitting next to you at Mass, who aren't especially nice. So they're a challenge to be nice to. And in fact, sad but true, you and I might be that person who isn't that nice to other people, who isn't that nice to be charitable toward. So there is a lot to be said for charity in the church. It is not an automatic. It's something we sometimes really have to work at, isn't it? So we're going to talk about that on this episode of the program. That'll be coming up later on. But first, we will look at the Mass readings, as we do every Friday, for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. As I always like to do, let's put it into perspective. There are 34 weeks in Ordinary Time, 33 weeks that are marked as Ordinary Time. The 34th Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So that's where we are. We're not too far away, believe it or not, from the end of the liturgical year and the beginning of Advent, but I don't want to rush things. I just want to keep it real and let you know where we stand. That's where we are in the church calendar, so that you know that where we are when it comes to the church year. But there's some good readings today, and we will discuss them. How are you doing? Hope you're doing well. I wanted to let you know that I'm excited about the fact that total consecration to Jesus through Mary officially begins 1 week from today on the program, but it will unofficially begin the night before, which is the 3rd of September. We'll do a little preparation and let you know what's coming up with total consecration on September the 3rd, and then we'll actually kick it off on September the 4th. And I really hope you'll be able to join me for it. It's going to be good. The fifth year in a row that we're doing it, we're using Father Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. And if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I do ask that you sign up on the website, followingthetruth.com, so that I know who is participating, so I can get an idea of your email address. In the event I have an email to send out, I want to be able to have some addresses. And I also like to know how many people we have participating. So followingthetruth.com is the place to go for more details. I also want to thank you for your prayers. I want to thank you for your financial donations. As I've said many times on this program, it is absolutely true. If it was not for you and your financial support and your prayers, I wouldn't be here today. So you're the reason I do this program. We're going on our fifth year now on Blog Talk Radio. It's a great blessing to be able to do this show. And I thank you, really, from the bottom of my heart for everything that you do for me and for my ministry. If you would like to volunteer, if you would like to donate, I don't need volunteers just yet. If you would like to donate to my work financially, you can visit followingthetruth.com and click on the Donate tab. I also want to keep you informed of something that will be happening probably within the next week or so. I am finally, at long last, this has been a long time in the making, going to have 5 of my most popular talks available on CD and MP3 download. So you'll be able to access those. They will be found somewhere on the website. I'm not sure how we're going to do this yet. I'm partnering with somebody who will be mailing them out for me. Stay tuned for that, and I'll give you more specifics as they become available. But I do have the first batch of CDs in my hand. I'm going to be selling them at the Malvern Retreat House tomorrow. I'm speaking at a men's retreat. I'm going to sell them there, but I'm also going to have them featured on the website, so you will be able to order them at a reasonable price. And these are 5 of the talks that are, I would say, my most requested talks. And stay tuned for more information about that. Okay, and by the way, I want to speak at your parish, so let me know if that can be a reality, if you'd like to bring me in to speak. Send me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com, and we can talk about the details. All right, let's pray, and then we're going to talk about the Mass readings for Sunday's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day on this earth. We're grateful for the many blessings that you have given to us in our lives. We ask you to help us, to keep us strong, to keep us going forward on the road that will one day, with your help, lead to life in heaven. Father, we ask you to be with us, our family members, those around us, our coworkers, fellow students, everyone that we meet throughout the day. We ask you to bless them, protect them, keep them close to you. Please use us to draw them close to you. We ask you to help those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with addiction, weather conditions, those who may be dealing with religious persecution, as well as those who are suffering financial difficulties at the moment. We ask you to help them, Father, with their problems. Allow them to be able to get through these problems and allow them also to feel your peace. I ask you, Father, to speak through me on the program today and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We turn now to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask her to intercede for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. That's right, my friends. We prayed. We asked the saints to intercede for us. And in a week from today, we're going to turn to our Blessed Mother and three great saints, Saint Louis de Montfort, Saint John Paul II, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, and Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta. That's actually four individuals we'll be looking at in our preparation for total consecration. So make sure you mark your calendars, you stay tuned, because I think you're going to really enjoy what we have in store for you in a week from now. And as always, if you have questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's look at the Mass readings for Sunday of the 22nd week in Ordinary Time. The first reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Moses said to the people, "Now Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you, in your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin upon you. You shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" The idea of the law in our day and age, it's thought of as a negative thing, isn't it? A law is restrictive. A law tells me what I have to do. A law takes away all my fun. A law specifies more what I can't do than what I can do. It's a negative thing in the mind of most people. But back in the day when Moses was proclaiming this to the people of Israel, the law was thought of differently by some people, not by all. And the reason is because God was very mysterious to the people for a long time. They didn't know as much about him as you and I do. When he started delivering his laws through Moses, people were finding more about him. People were finding out what the Lord wanted them to do. People were finding out the secret to getting to heaven, because that's what the law is all about. People were finding out what they needed to do to please the Lord. That's what the law is. So when you hear the talk of the commandments, that is a way of growing closer to the Lord. He's reaching out and saying, here's what you need to do. If you want to love me, if you want to get to heaven, if this is what I'm asking you to do. Because if you don't do these things, this is the law, the Lord, this would be the Lord's logic. If you don't do these things, you're not going to please me and you're not going to end up in heaven, right? We have to know, because sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, but we're not. We are asked, or we are told, it's not a matter of being asked, we are told that if we love, if we wish to love the Lord, and these were the words of Jesus, then we'll keep his commands, period. If we don't, then we're not only disobeying him, we're not really showing our love for him. And we've got to really get over this. There's too much of this in the world today. If we love the Lord, we will keep his commands. He's telling us what we need to do in order to be able to get to heaven. He's telling us how we should love him, because we don't know on our own. And yet we reject that sometimes. So please keep that in mind about the law. And we're going to tie all these readings together briefly. This responsorial psalm, Psalm 15, the one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Whoever walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue, who harms not his fellow man, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised, while he honors those who fear the Lord, who lends not his money at usury, and accepts no bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things shall never be disturbed. And that's the message. That's the message for us all today. We're being told what it is that we should do. We're being told very clearly what it is that we need to do in order to get to heaven. This is why the Catholic Church has a body of teaching. It's a beefed up version of the Ten Commandments. Because if you recall, when Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount started delivering, he started talking to the people, what he did was expand the Ten Commandments a little bit. And he gave us more than just the strict observance of the Ten Commandments. It's really easy to say, I didn't kill anybody today, so therefore I didn't violate thou shalt not kill. But if we open up the catechism and listen to Jesus also, he talks about anger being a form of killing somebody. So if we're angry, we're also violating the commandment that says thou shalt not kill. We need to be careful about that. We can't just say, well, this is what I'm doing. I'm not killing anybody, so my interpretation means I'm not doing anything wrong. We're going to be judged one day. And the Lord's not going to use our standards to judge us. He's going to use his own standards. We've got to be careful about that. The second reading, this is a great one. It's from the letter of St. James, chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. Dearest brothers and sisters, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits for his creatures. Humbly welcome the word that's been planted in you and be able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now, this is so important. We're going to hear, or we are in the process of hearing right now on this program, the Lord speak to us through sacred scripture. And if you listen to the show every day, you hear the Lord speak through sacred scripture. That's what I do on the show. I make sure that we do the mass readings each day. You can listen to it and let it go in one ear and out the other, or you can really try to put it into practice. This is what we need to do. We can't just hear what God wants us to do through scripture. We can't just know what the teachings of the church are, but rather we have to follow these. We have to put them into practice. We need to take care of the poor. We need to share what we have. We need to control our tongue. We need to serve others. It's not just a matter of listening. And we can know all the rules, but that's not going to get us to heaven. That's not going to get us any closer to the Lord. The way that it happens, that our relationship with the Lord grows and we get to heaven, is when we follow his commands. The gospel today, Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They observed that some of the disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they don't eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" Jesus responded, "Well did Hosea prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition.'" He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from the outside can defile that person, but the things that come from within are what defile. From within, people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evil comes from within, and they defile." Although we are called to follow the commandments of the church, we want to make sure that we're following them for the right reason and not ignoring the spirit of the law by obeying the letter of the law. For instance, it's a commandment of the church that I go to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation. But if I'm doing that and talking about people behind their back, if I'm doing that and not helping the poor, not giving of my time, if I'm cheating on my taxes, whatever it is that I may be doing, I've got a problem, because what I'm doing at that point is just going through the motions. I'm just doing the external practices of my faith. You know, as somebody who did that for many years, I really know what that's like. And I was very self-righteous about the fact that I went to Mass each Sunday. And I would look down on people who didn't. That's not a good thing. And I'm not proud of that. And I've learned that that's really wrong. And that's what the Lord is talking about here. These readings are great because they all present the same message. Yes, we've got commands to follow. The Lord's telling us what to do. But we can't pick and choose. We can't pick and choose what we want to obey. And unfortunately, that's what happens sometimes. That's what happens. We decide which commands, which teachings we'll follow. Generally the ones we agree with, and then the other ones we'll just ignore. So let's be careful about that and make sure that while we are called to follow the church's teachings and commands, we want to do it for the right reason. We're not doing it just so that other people think we're holy. We're not doing it to look down on others. We're not doing it really even out of a sense of obligation. We want to try to get away from that. We're doing it because we love the Lord, and we want to move toward that. It's better to obey the church teachings out of a sense of obligation than not obeying them. I mean, I'll agree with that, but you want to eventually move from that and move toward doing them because you love the Lord. Okay, now if you have any questions, please email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. You know what I realized? I forgot to mention my beverage du jour. There we go. There you go. Just a big tall glass of water today. Nothing elaborate, but today it's a little warm. I was running around doing some errands, and I thought that would be the best beverage du jour. Sorry it took so long to get to it. I got tied up with all this scripture stuff, you know. I got to get to the beverage du jour earlier in the program. You know I'm kidding, right? Okay, let's open up the book Kindness by Father Lawrence Lovasik. And boy, as much as I've read this book, and I've read it many times over on the program, I'm always getting something new out of it. Now, this is, the book is named Kindness, was originally written in 1961. It is out of print, but I managed to get an old copy of it. I'm really glad I did, because this is not an easy book to get a hold of. The current version of it, it's an abridged version. You can get a version of it called The Hidden Power of Kindness, and I recommend you do. You can get it from Amazon or from EWTN Religious Catalog. It's a really, really good book. Some of the material has been removed, so I'm making sure you get all of the material. That's why I'm using the older version of the book, but there are some really great things to think about. Today we're going to talk about charity and the mystical body of Christ. The mystical body of Christ is what? The church. The church is the mystical body of Christ. Let's talk about some things that you might think are obvious, but they might not be that obvious. The union between members of the mystical body is intimate. So, you and I, if we're members of the church, if we're baptized and incorporated into the church, we receive the sacraments of initiation, baptism, Holy Communion, confirmation, we're full members of the church. You and I have an intimate bond. A lot of times we don't realize that. And I might get angry with you or with somebody else who's a member of the church and say things that I shouldn't say, never really thinking about the fact that I have this close, intimate bond because of the fact that we're all incorporated into Christ. The close union of the faithful with Christ is compared with the pure union between husband and wife. It was compared by Christ himself with the oneness existing also between the Father and the Son. All the members of the church, being united in and with Christ, must work together toward a single end, namely for the continuous sanctification of the members of Christ's body. Pope Pius XII says, "Our union in and with Christ is first evident from the fact that since Christ wills his Christian community to be a body which is a perfect society, its members must be united because they all work together toward a single end. The nobler the end toward which they strive, and the more divine the motive which actuates this collaboration, the higher, no doubt, will be the union." Okay, let's see. That's getting a little deep. I'm gonna chill on that. The members must cooperate to profess externally the same faith. Now, since its founder willed this social body of Christ to be visible, the cooperation of all its members must be externally manifest through their profession of the same faith and their sharing the same sacred rites through participation in the same sacrifice and the practical observance of the same laws. Meaning that you're Catholic, I'm Catholic, we need to obey the commands of the church. And that's why this phenomenon known as cafeteria Catholicism, it's a big problem. Because when I start to disobey commands of the church, and remember, these aren't suggestions, they're commands that we're talking about. If I start to say I don't really believe that I need to follow this church teaching or command, then I'm doing harm to the body. And in fact, I'm hurting you by doing it. Besides the social and juridical bonds that unite the members of Christ's church, there's another principle of union that links the members closely to one another and to God, namely the three virtues of faith, hope, and charity. With Christ, we are one body, one Christ, the whole Christ. We receive all our life and strength from Christ the head. As members of his body, we are bound to benefit each other by mutual edification and cooperation in our prayers, works, and suffering. Then, too, through gifts, powers, and extraordinary graces, the Spirit of Christ, or the Holy Spirit, dwells within our souls and operates in us. The Holy Spirit infuses charity into the souls of men. When God became man and then bestowed upon human nature the fullness of the divinity, he reestablished all things in Christ and reunited heaven and earth with him, in him. The Holy Spirit takes possession of us to give us divine life and unites us to the God-man. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the heart of the church, according to St. Thomas and St. Augustine, who said, "What our soul is to the body, the Holy Spirit is to the body of Christ, which is the church." He is the soul of the church, which, by the way, I forgot to give a shout-out to St. Augustine. I got so wrapped up in all the material we had to go through today. Today we celebrate his memorial. So, St. Augustine, we ask you to pray for us and help us to really understand the beauty of following the Lord as he speaks through his church. The Holy Spirit dwells in the church as her heart and her life. He chooses and consecrates her bishops and priests and aids them in their apostolic work. The Savior is eager to bestow upon his creatures the highest gift that he can give, his own divinity, in the measure that they are able to share in it. This is accomplished through sanctifying grace. The Holy Spirit dispenses sanctifying grace and all other graces through the sacraments, the normal channels of sanctifying grace. Let's see what else we have here. The Holy Eucharist is the miraculous food that nourishes us and sustains the life of God in our souls so that Christ may live in us. The sacraments derive their efficacy from the sacred humanity of Christ. All Christians are brothers of Christ. Now that's something we don't often think of. Because I'm a Christian, I'm a brother of Christ. You might be a brother of Christ, you might be a sister of Christ. But he is your brother. That's a really great privilege. The Son of God is the brother of souls in grace. Two men are brothers when they take their origin from the same blood. Men in grace are also of the same blood or of the same spirit as the divine word, since he has received the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of the Son of God. Each Christian soul is another Christ. Our Lord multiplies himself not only in the Eucharist, but also in baptism. By proxy, he is all over the world. He lives in us and in countless others. These baptized men and women who surround you are really your brothers and sisters in Christ. You must love God in them. And, you know, until you think about that, it's really easy to get annoyed with people, isn't it? All the actions of Christians complement those of Christ. St. Paul says that we are members of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are Christ's body and individually its members. Both we and Jesus Christ are moved by the same Spirit. All our actions as Christians complement the life of Jesus. Jesus Christ himself is perfect, but in order to form his mystical body, he needs an increment. From this point of view, he is not sufficient to himself. In order to exercise all his vital functions, he requires members. We must yield our souls to the Spirit of Jesus Christ so that Jesus may have an increase in us. Whenever he finds worthy followers, he expands, grows, and diffuses himself within their hearts, filling them with the divine life of which he is the source. Let's see, what do we have here? Pray to Jesus Christ in the words of St. Bernard. We follow you, through you, to you, for you are the way, the truth, and the life. Your example is the way, your promises are the truth, and the reward is life. Your deeds are the way, your words are the truth, and your blessings are life. As God, you are the truth. As the God-man, you are the life. Because we are living, or ought to be living, the same divine life in Christ, there should be a strong bond of charity uniting us together. Now, does that always happen? No, but that's what it should be. We are all in closest fellowship, so that what is profitable to one is profitable to all others. No matter how great the variety of gifts or how great the diversity of offices, the whole body derives from whatever good there is in each member, and each member in turn shares in the common good of the body. The divine presence in each of us is the basis of our union in spite of the limitations of time and space. Our prayers can reach God in the soul of our neighbor, especially prayers that ask for an increase of love of our neighbor. So if you're having trouble loving your neighbor, pray about it. Ask for the help. Don't try to be holy all by yourself. I mean, this is the thing that we need to remember. The Lord wants to help us. Let's make sure that we reach out to him and ask for his help. We're just about out of time. I want to let you know, God willing, I will be back here on Monday at 8 p.m. If you need anything over the weekend, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. That's gary@followingthetruth.com. Remember, the total consecration begins on next Friday. We'll do the pregame show, if you will, on the Thursday prior to that. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Please say some prayers for me. I'm going to be speaking at the Malvern Retreat House this weekend, speaking to a group of men at a retreat. Just keep us all in your prayers. Have a wonderful night. God bless you, and God willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Monday. Take care.